Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine, because we are starting. Hey there. Happy Monday. I am so honored today to bring you another amazing interview episode. Today, you get to meet Britt Jackson. Britt Jackson is a director of operations. She specializes working with small businesses as well as nonprofit organizations to bring their ideas, visions, and dreams to life. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was doing some Q&A of like, what's holding you back from freelancing? And I've heard from a couple of people that are like, I want to do this. I'm a single mom. Like, I'm worried about being a single mom and being able to make this work. And so I shared something to my story similar to that. And Britt responded and just shared such amazing encouragement and how she has been able to make her life and income and provide a really, really good life for her and her sweet son, Finley, as a freelancer. And so I was like, Britt, would you come on the podcast and talk more about this? She agreed. And today is that interview. And even if you're not a single mom, there is going to be so much to take away from her interview on how she landed clients, how she built her business, what her timeline and journey to going from being on food stamps and wondering how, like, being let go from her nanny position when she was 7 months pregnant with no other means to support her and her new baby, how she went from that to earning $2,000 to $3,000 a month as a freelancer to $5,000 to $6,000 a month as a freelancer to, I want to say in the episode, she mentioned like $8,000 to $9,000 a month as a freelancer, all by herself, sole income provider. And also how she then has leveraged that experience to become the executive director of a nonprofit that she is super passionate about and how she's able to now do both. So she does both a full-time salaried position and still offers freelance services as a director of operations for several clients. So you can kind of see just another perspective from someone of how they make freelancing work for them. We even get into talking a little bit about comparisonitis and imposter syndrome and how anyone can truly do this, no matter where you're at right now, no matter what your experience is, no matter what your background is, you can do this. And I get asked all the time from people, can I do this? Here's my background. Or I want to do this, but I just don't know if I can. And like, if that's you, what I want to tell you is you can. There's no reason you can't start a freelance business and be successful and reach your income goals. There's not a single reason I can think of that you can't do this. Now, if you don't want to, that's one thing. But if you kind of take a second to sit down and think about your life, your dreams, your desires, how you want it to feel, how you want it to look, and whatever you have going on right now just isn't it, whether it's working a full-time job or it's being a stay-at-home mom or, you know, whatever in between. If that's not working for you, you have the power in you to make a change. Don't let your fears, your questions keep you from taking action and building that life you want. If you're asking yourself, can I do this? Ask yourself back, why can't I do this? Why wouldn't I be able to do this? If Britt's been able to do this, if Michaela's been able to do this, if all the other women that have been on the podcast have been able to do this, why wouldn't I be able to do that? And seriously, sit with that question for a day, a week, an hour, 5 minutes. And if you don't have a solid reason of why you wouldn't be able to do this, then go for it. And I did a story last week on my Instagram stories kind of talking about this, like three questions to ask yourself. And if you can answer yes to these three questions, I have zero doubt that you can get started freelancing and build a successful business, whatever that looks like for you, whatever your definition is, whatever you're looking for right now, you can get there with freelancing. And so number one, am I willing to learn? If you're listening to this podcast sitting here, chances are you might not yet know how to build a freelance business and go out and find clients. Are you willing to learn? If you can answer yes to that, move on to question two. If you're not willing to learn, probably best to just find something else to do with your time and move on, I guess. Question two, am I willing to implement and take action on what I learn? Am I willing to take action and implement on what I learn? Even if it's out of my comfort zone, am I willing to push outside of that comfort zone? If you can answer yes to that, move on to question three. If you answer no to am I willing to implement, ask yourself why and go explore that for a little bit. Figure that out. And until you can get to a place of yes, I'm willing to implement and take action, even if it's a little bit scary, even if it's out of my comfort zone, you can move on to question three. Question three is, am I willing to lean on Michaela and the Women in the Live Free Academy community and the support system that is established in the program? Am I willing to lean on them for support when I get stuck, as I'm learning and as I'm implementing to build my business? Am I willing to lean on them for support? If you're not, it might be a little bit tough to build your business on your own. You don't have to build it on your own. Lean on us. If you have a support system in place, lean on them. Don't stay stuck by yourself. Reach out. But if you can answer yes to all those three questions, am I willing to learn? Am I willing to take action? Am I willing to lean on Michaela and the Live Free Academy community when I get stuck, when I need help? If you can answer yes to all those three, your success in the program is inevitable. It's inevitable. Can't say if it'll be in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, but I can say it's inevitable. If you're going to learn, if you're going to take action, and when you get stuck, you come to me. If you're a student inside the Live Free Academy. If you're ready to make that commitment, you answered yes to all those three questions. The link to the Live Free Academy is on the show notes, michaelaquinn.com/academy. And I'd love to see you inside. Otherwise, if you're just here for another incredible story from a fabulous mom who found herself in a tough spot, but decided to make a commitment to herself and her family and her son to build a business and create a life she loves for both of them, stay tuned because you're going to love Brett and you're just going to feel so encouraged after this episode. Brett, welcome to the podcast.
I am so excited to talk to you today. It's going to be so good.
It's going to be so good. And I'm so excited too, but I love to just start out kind of to get a quick bio for you, quick introduction from you kind of to the audience, who you are, what you do, that sort of thing. And then we'll dive into how you built your business and everything.
Yeah. So I'm Britt Jackson. I am the owner of the Georgia Creative, which is a consulting agency for admin and operations for business coaches. And I do work with a couple of small businesses too, but I started working in the virtual assistant space back in 2015. When this thing first started gaining steam as far as making your livelihoods from home and entrepreneurship. And I now additionally am executive director of an international drowning prevention nonprofit. Wow. So I do a lot and I'm a single mom. My son Finley is 8 and we live in Augusta, Georgia. As you can probably tell from my accent, I talk a little bit slower than most.
I love it. I love it. Well, okay. So you got started back in 2015. How did you get started? How did you learn about freelancing, virtual assistant? That's around the time when my daughter was born. She's 7. So our kiddos are just like a couple months apart, probably. And I had no idea this existed and was like desperately searching, but couldn't find it.
Yes. Same. So I call it my previous life. I was a professional nanny in my 20s and I started working. I worked in San Francisco for a while and then migrated back to the South and settled in Atlanta. And I was living my best life. I mean, I had my little bachelorette pad and I was traveling a lot with the families I worked with. I thought I found my calling and I had an agent. I worked with an agency in Atlanta and I really had made it a career. And then I fell in love and I was not supposed to be able to get pregnant according to doctors. I had a lot of like female issues and things. Mm-hmm. But then I ended up pregnant, and I don't know how you accidentally do that at 33, but I managed to do it. And so things didn't work out with my partner ideally. And shortly after my son was born, we split, and I was basically left just flat footed. I lost my job when I was 7 months pregnant because I worked for, you know, high level professionals who couldn't afford for their nanny to go into labor while they were away. And I understood that was difficult. But so I had started working an administrative job that a friend graciously gave me until I had my baby. And then I had a little bit of savings, and I had basically spent the majority of my adulthood raising other people's children. And I wanted to raise my baby, and I wanted to be home with him, but I didn't have any income. I didn't have family to move in with or fall back on. It was just the two of us. And it was a really scary place to be, but I decided at that time that, like, I'm going to figure out if there's a way to do this, I'm going to figure it out. So at the time I had been doing some like administrative assistant stuff on the side. And I had done that a little bit while I was pregnant. And a few different people that I knew had hired me to post on their social media for them because they were more seasoned in life and didn't really understand how all of it worked. And I had been doing that a little bit. And so I reached out to them and asked them if anyone in their networks needed more help, like doing what I had been doing for them, and then kind of fell into the whole virtual assistant world there and found out that it existed.
Wow.
And this is like something that you can actually build sustainable income doing. So my goal at that time, once I realized like this is something that I could do, was just to keep the lights on, basically, and to keep food on the table, but to be home and working. And so that's kind of where I started. And it was a slow burn for me. It was very slow. But man, looking back now, I'm so proud of what I did then, because it just laid the framework for where we are today. And it's been wonderful. And I just want to say anyone can do it. Anyone. So ask all the questions.
Did you have any support from your partner, your son's father?
No. He decided that fatherhood was not for him, and he left, and that was it. And so I did not want to force him to be part of my son's life. And so I just knew, like, here we are, we're on our own. You know, that was it. It was just a clean break.
Yeah. Was that, like, scary for you in the moment? It sounds like you were just like, well, that's that. And I'm going to figure this out.
I think it was 50-50. I was terrified. But at the same time, and I know a lot of us moms feel this way, you don't realize the strength that's inside of you to power through something, and the will that actually does live within you until it's about your child, until it's about something way bigger than you. And that is where I was. So I definitely have had a therapist over the years to get through a lot of that. It was not easy by any means. And especially in the very beginning, it was terrifying, but it gave me the will to get through the difficult parts of this.
Mm-hmm. So when he was born, shortly kind of around that time, you were doing administrative assistant stuff. Was that in an employee role, or was that all like
It was 1099. It was 1099, actually. Yeah. So I had been volunteering for a local nonprofit in Atlanta, and a friend of the CEO of that nonprofit wanted to hire me. So they did. And once you get networking is a big thing, and cultivating relationships. And so if you get in the right group of people, just letting them know that you have the skill set and you're willing to work is such a huge part of it. And I asked, which I'm not good at doing. I'm very independent, but just asking, like, do you know anyone? Could you pass my name along? You know, and that part worked. And so I worked in office while I was pregnant. But then after the baby was born, they gave me a laptop and let me continue from home, even as a 1099.
Yeah.
And it went from there. So.
Wow. So I was going to ask, you said you asked, did you ask for like your first kind of independent contract role, or was that it almost sounds like it almost just kind of happened. I don't want to say fell in your lap, because I know that's not how things...
Well, no, it really did. And also, I call it provision. God took care of us.
Yeah.
At that time, he really did. But it did fall in my lap. But it could have stopped there if I mm-hmm. hadn't pressed it and said, okay, I saw a loophole. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, this is something that I can do. This is something that could be bigger. And then to see all the resources online that were being developed. And now we're so far past that. So, which leads us to its own set of issues. Like, it's a lot to navigate.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Someone the other day commented on, I was running a Facebook ads to my free email course, and they commented like, why in the world would anyone need to sign up for a free email course when they can just go to Google? I'm like, well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want curated information sent to me and I don't want to spend 20 hours Googling the same thing and having nothing after that, right? Like, Google's great, but sometimes all the information just leads to more information and no solutions or no, like there's no stopping. There's no endpoint. Hey there, real quick interruption from me, Michaela Quinn. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that you knew that we just added a 12-month payment plan to our program, the Live Free Academy. You can enroll and get started today for just $147. If you go to go.michaelaquinn.com or just head to the show notes on this episode, we've got it linked there as well. You can read all the details and click one of the buttons to go enroll. And on there, you'll see the 12-month payment plan option. When you choose the 12-month payment plan option, you get the entire course the second you enroll. We don't hold anything back because you're on a payment plan. You'll get access to the How to Build Your Business from Start to Finish course, skills training, the job leads board, the coaching calls, the student community Facebook group, and everything else that is a part of the Live Free Academy program so that you can get started freelancing and land your first client in 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to go through the course and then start implementing. Again, you can see all the details at go.michaelaquinn.com/academy or head to the show notes and click the link there. All right, back to the show.
Right. The pathway is so important at this point. It really is. Yeah.
So you said the timeline from when you kind of got started with that first, technically, client.
Yeah.
It was a slow burn. Can you kind of walk us through what that timeline looked like? Just, and as, I mean, slow and detailed as you want to go. Like, I think hearing people's timelines is so, so important. And also showing the slow timelines too. I think I don't want to fall into the pattern of only showing the fast timelines of like, hey, this person started freelancing and made six figures in 10 days, blah, blah, blah.
Yes. And there's so much to be said for that. But I'll tell you, like my personality, I knew my personality going into it is not one that moves quickly. I am an introvert. I'm thoughtful. I plan. I have lists out my wazoo. Like, and I knew that even if I could be one of those entrepreneurs who did like the, you know, zero to six figures and 6 months or whatever, that I would be so overwhelmed. I wouldn't be the mom that I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was not only putting food on the table, but it was really important to me to be a good mom, a present mom, a happy mom to my son. And although we have been dealt a really difficult hand, I never wanted him to have to say, well, my mom worked, you know, so hard and she had a tough go of it. Like, no, your mom did the best she could, but also lived a happy life. Yeah. And so the slow burn, the way that it started was, you know, working with my one client and then the organization that I volunteered for, they actually hired me to do some paid work. Mm-hmm. And then I built out on Canva a little PDF. I named it britsoffice.com. I bought the domain. I made a Wix website that just said, I do virtual assistant work. Here's how to contact me. Mm-hmm. And I asked everyone I knew and I told everyone I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I volunteered to help with the social media for my son's preschool. And, you know, he did a little Mother's Day Out program in his toddler years and they let me build their website. I learned how to do that enough so that I could do, and they still use it today. And, you know, did a little,
oh my gosh.
And, you know, things like that, to build community around myself. Mm-hmm. And then also just to have like samples of things to show people. And then I had a little portfolio and it just worked. And so eventually I built up enough of a client list to hire a VA, and I had a VA for a while, and we worked, and I was, you know, keeping the lights on, putting food on the table. But my plan was to actually do that until my son went to kindergarten and went to school full time. And I knew once he went to school full time, I wanted to make the real money. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have true financial security, not just month to month anymore. And that was something, a vision that I had for myself. I realized that in this industry, once I got to know more about it, there's so many ways to go and the sky's the limit. So really, mm-hmm. you just have to find out what you love to do, mm-hmm. and build your business there. That's what I really desire to do. So I kept doing different kinds of projects and taking different things on. I'm a learner. It's my number one, you know, strength finders, whatever. And I settled on operations. I knew that that's where I should be. So one of the things that I did, still 1099, but I worked for the nanny agency that was my agent in Atlanta. I went on with them for a while and I could still work from home and do all the things. And I built out systems and processes for myself and Trello. I was introduced to Trello through a VA training thing. And so I built out this whole system to keep myself organized and ended up showing it to the owner. And then she pushed it out to the whole company and all the branches. And then I knew, like, okay, operations is what I should do. I'm so good. I loved it. And so it's just paying attention to little things like that to figure out where you can niche in then what you want to maybe focus in on later. But it's a process, you know? And so, I don't know, I may have gotten off topic from the question of where we were, but.
So while your son was young and like before he entered kindergarten, did you ever have a W-2 employee role, or were you supporting yourselves only through the freelance independent contract type work?
Yeah. And this is an important thing I want to talk about. I think when he was 4, I can't remember exactly what year it was. One of the companies I was freelancing with, they wanted to bring me on salary part-time. Mm-hmm. Which I love. And they did it in a way that I would qualify for benefits through their company. Mm. And that was a big deal for me. They knew it was a selling point for me. And I still am employed with them now. So that is how I obtained health insurance. And it is a possible to do. If you look for opportunities, I feel like, and with other entrepreneurs that I know, those things do, they just come to you. They will organically. And you just have to look for them. And so there are ways that you can, especially health insurance. It's a big selling point for single parents who don't have a spouse in the workplace and can't be on your policies. So, but yes, I did start part-time but I still have always throughout maintained my LLC and my multiple streams.
Yeah. So with that client that you were able to get health insurance and benefits from, prior to that, what did you do for insurance?
Well, I was jobless and broke when my son was born. So I have qualified for Medicaid, but also, you know, there was a point right after he was born where we were on food stamps. I mean, I keep the little folder like in a little special place and I go and remind myself of that sometimes, like how far we've come. But yeah, there is help if you need it. Areas like that, but there's also alternatives. And there are some really great, just to speak about the insurance part, there's some really great insurance agents who can get you into an affordable policy to see you through if you need it.
Do you have any resources or like know where someone could go for that? Because I would have no idea where to send someone.
So what I have learned is that it's best to do it locally. So if you can ask for word of mouth of who a great insurance agent is in your area, sometimes county and statewide, they can get you something different from what you would get from like a national website for, you know, insurance brokering. So if you can find someone local and sit down with them, that's what I recommend doing.
And that, if I'm understanding correctly, like that conversation is free, right? Like they're only paid kind of like in an affiliate-ish way, commission-based for whatever plan you decide to go with.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
Cool. So
even
like
for health insurance, some people think it's just life insurance, but there's health insurance brokers too.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Wow. That helps. Were you able, can you speak to maybe like what you were able to bring in on like a monthly basis and kind of like what the work week schedule looked like for you? And were you able to be like make enough to support you guys and not have to work like 100 hours a day?
Yes. Yes. It was, I would say it ebbed and flowed between 25 to 35 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Once my son was over 8 months, I think at 8 months, I had him in nursery school, mm-hmm. which is really affordable, just like 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Mm-hmm. a couple of days a week. That was enough time between that and nap times. And he was a great napper, I will say. Mm-hmm. Those were when I worked. So between 25 and 30 hours a week. And I was, when I started, around 3,500 was a great month for me. And then I settled mm-hmm. into about 5 to 6K for a pretty good while.
Yeah. How long did it take you to kind of get to the point where you were bringing in 3,500 and then like the jump from 5 to 6K?
I think from finding out what a virtual assistant was, creating the business and focusing on getting clients, I would say maybe 3 months. Mm-hmm. It took to get in to get the clients, and then maybe 5 to 6 to get in a good rhythm and to feel good about what I was doing.
Yeah.
Because you don't, and also onboarding and working with new clients is always a challenge and takes more time. And yeah. Once you get into a good rhythm, things happen a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you said 5 to 6 months, is that like 5 to 6 months to be at the 5 to 6K monthly income?
I would say it was probably about a year before uh-huh. I got to over 5K. Yeah. So it was a slow, like I said, like a slow. Yeah. So I would say like the first 5 to 6 months getting to that 3,500. And then by about a year later, I was sitting comfortably at 5K some months.
Yeah.
5 to 6K.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible though. Like that's incredible. I know when you say slow burn, it feels like a slow burn because in some cases there's people that are like, oh, I did this and it happens so fast, but that's still really fast, Britt, when you compare it to like corporate world. If you got a corporate job and we're making, I don't know, $36,000 a year, there's no way on God's green earth that you would have doubled that in a year.
Right. Right. And that's why I'm so passionate about telling people like, you can do this.
Yeah.
You can. And it's a burn. It can be a grind. It can be difficult, but choose your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to be in this position for a while. So either you can build your skill set, move forward in the ways that you choose. And I do have something special to say about that towards the end. But the ways that you choose, you can do that and make it happen for yourself so much faster and improve your quality of life for you and your children
yeah.
so much faster.
Yeah.
I'm so passionate for women to know about this, especially single moms.
Yeah. So then your son was like a year, maybe two-ish, and you're bringing in like $5,000 to $6,000 a month.
Yes.
How did that grow or what did that look like timeline-wise from him being two-ish to going into kindergarten?
It really was, I had a period of time where I needed to breathe a little bit.
Mm.
And like I was I was in survival mode those first 2 years. And
absolutely.
So not just with like work and my child, but emotionally from a lot of things I've been through and just kind of rebuilding my life. Because
mm-hmm.
what I didn't tell you is that I had to pack us up in a U-Haul and move to my hometown for a better quality of life and
mm-hmm.
lower cost of living and things. And so between his ages of 3 and 5, it was really just maintaining it
yeah.
and building my skill set. And at that point, I started planning for when he was going to go to kindergarten. It's very important for me. And you know, we've talked about this, for him to be in private school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that was going to be a big chunk of my income. And so preparing for that, and what is that going to look like? How do I get there? And then preparing to level up more. But I wasn't ready to do that until he was in school full time. It was just a personal choice.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. And I think that is really something more people should give pause and think about. I know, like myself included too, it's so easy when you get started to see all the opportunities and like all the things you can do and want. It's really hard to balance that and also balance just acknowledging the season of life that you're in and what you really want that life to look like and feel like, not only for yourself, but for your child or family.
Exactly. It is a lot of mindset work and introspection. And I always caution people, especially now, there are the noise is so huge, and it's so easy to look at your neighbor, literally, or your friend, or your best entrepreneur friend in your mastermind group, or who, and see all the things that they're doing and think that you're not enough, or that you're not ever going to get there. But you need to be clear about why you want to get there and what you want.
Yeah.
And that's your measure of success, not what everybody else is doing. And the success will come.
Yeah.
But the shiny objects, good Lord, everything glitters now.
Seriously. Seriously. And that's easier said than done, to like stop looking at others and comparing yourself and just focus on yourself. But I know, like, just from my own personal experience in business, when I can ignore what everyone else is doing and kind of separate the jealousy or the envy of like, oh, I wish I could do that, and not go that next step of, oh, I'm not enough. Like, I love that you said that. When I can be in a place where I can just be happy for them and not go to that, oh, I'm not enough place, I'm much happier in business with where I'm at. And I think there's always more we could be doing, but there's always time. There's always more time too.
And I want to speak to that part a little bit too, where as a person who is you're offering a skill, you're offering a service to someone, a lot of times we can think somebody else is clearly doing this better than me, you know, and that will stop us from offering what we're doing, especially the people we know or our local networks. And what I want to say about that is there's only one you, and somebody needs you. And so don't look at what everybody else is doing and think that they're so much better than you, because number one, they're probably not. And number two, you are here for some specific person, business reason. Nobody is you. There's plenty of work to go around. Go look at the bread aisle, you know, there's so many different kinds of bread. And so with the shiny objects too, I think that's something we can fall into as far as providing services for people, is that we're never going to be like so-and-so, so why should we even try?
Yeah.
And that's a lie and a false belief that we have to fight against.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so then talk us through what things looked like once Finley was in kindergarten, and it was your season now to kind of grow and really scale your income, that kind of achieve that vision that you had in your mind all those years while you were kind of, you said maintaining, and you were just kind of maintaining and living and enjoying what you built. What did that next season look like?
Well, the summer before he went to kindergarten, I completed an OBM certification, which is online business manager. I thought that was the next logical step to level up my skill set and learn about industry standards and all that. And in doing that, I still realized my love for operations is so deep. And so I started working with a few business coaches and came on board with them as a fractional OBM. And this was also through networking and word of mouth. It was a connection with the owner of the nanny agency that I'd worked for. She connected me with her friend who was a business coach. And then he connected me to other people because I did a great job for him. And it happened very organically. So I really enjoyed working with business coaches because I will never be the face of a brand. It's not my personality. It's not who I am. I will never be at the forefront, but I love building systems that support those people and being in the rooms with those people and giving them solutions. And it just lights me up. So I started there, and then that amped me up to about 8 to 9K after about 6 months after my certification with the OBM. And then I took on a salaried position in 2021 that was still work from home. It was for a business coach doing operations, building out her business for her. And it was salaried because I was very calculated about this. I could buy a home if I was on salary somewhere. Purchasing a home as a freelancer is just really difficult. It's doable. So if you're making enough money and it's all the things aligned, it is doable. But I so desperately wanted us to live in a neighborhood with families and kids and safety and, you know, all the things. So I took the salary position for a year. I made a year commitment and purchased my home. And then as luck would have it, at the end of that commitment, or we were nearing the end, the coach decided to take her business in a totally different direction. So it ended organically, and I was in a new home and back to where I wanted to be, working for myself and my LLC. And then I was promoted in late 2021 to executive director of this big nonprofit because I had worked for them for so many years and they thought it was time. And so that's where I am now. But that came through, it's the 1099 that I worked for them for 7 years. So
now you're on salary with the
nonprofit.
With the nonprofit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you did both of the salaried positions, were you still doing client work and maintaining client work at that time?
Minimally. I had a couple of retainer clients that I still kept. It was like night and weekend work. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to let go of, and they're still with me mm-hmm. all these years. So yeah, it was minimal, but I kept the LLC alive. And if for nothing else, for tax purposes, which is a whole other thing I can get into.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you still doing salaried work, or are you now back to doing?
Yeah, I'm still a full-time as executive director for this nonprofit. And then also I freelance and take on projects as I can. And I have a goal. I have a coach and I have a goal of relaunching my LLC by the end of the year in a way that is, I don't know, that complements what I'm doing with the nonprofit. Mm. So
that's awesome.
It's my baby.
Can you spill any secrets or any details on what that looks like? Or are you keeping that hush for now?
Well, it's definitely more in the coaching business, but mm-hmm. I want to facilitate operations and processes that allow coaches to be more personal with mm-hmm. their clients, because connection is key now. Mm-hmm. So it's so important. So yeah, that's what we're working on.
Yeah. So just to make sure I kind of understand, now you do the salary employee role and use the freelance to kind of supplement.
Yes. And one thing I want to tell you about that is that while I did accept this full-time position with this nonprofit, it's on my terms. I still work mm-hmm. from home. My schedule is still very flexible. They know that they will get results from me and that it happens, and they were comfortable with that. And part of this slow burn and this grind I've talked about this whole time is truly, this is the payoff point to me, because I know we talk about when you finally do kind of hit pay dirt, so to speak, not to discount all the work that you did and all the years you spent grinding mm-hmm. or the months now, mm-hmm. because it happens a lot faster, but that you spent really digging in and doing the uncomfortable, difficult stuff. And it's always uncomfortable. It never yeah. stops being uncomfortable. I don't know about for you, but for me, it's still, you have to be comfortable with discomfort. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, it's still my terms. I'm still living exactly the same way as I was when I freelanced mm-hmm. and just being a support to people and getting stuff mm-hmm. done. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. What does the freelance side of things look like? Like, how many projects do you do a month? And
yeah, I have about 4 retainers right now. Some things are just like pretty much on autopilot and just need managing.
Yeah.
I still host a few websites for people, you know, just small things that all add up. But yeah, about 4, I think mm-hmm. I have that I can do comfortably and responsibly mm-hmm. with my full time.
Yeah. How many hours, like extra a week, is that roughly?
It's probably about 5 to 6 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So cool. One thing I hear from people, especially like I'll hear from single moms that, or women that are maybe close to getting divorced or wanting to, but the income thing is holding them back, why some of them are hesitant to look to do the freelance type of work, even though it would give them like the better quality of life and time with their family and all of that, is the fear of the income inconsistency and fear of like fluctuations or changes. Can you speak to how that's worked in your business as a single mom, and maybe what, like, is that a real fear? Is that realistic? Or is that even like something that happens? Or like, what can we do if that does happen, I guess?
Yeah, well, totally legitimate fear, for sure. But also a big fear right now with the climate the way it is, people are losing their jobs left and right. So you can be afraid for yourself at home, or you could be afraid for yourself in your job right now, I feel. But it is something that I learned from the beginning, is not to put all your eggs in one basket. Okay. So you want to have at least two or three clients sharing the load. So even if you lost one unexpectedly, or they don't pay their invoice, which still happens sometimes, you have a backup and you are able to be agile and move quickly onto the next thing. One thing that I have learned is to rest in the fact that I have a marketable skill set. And no matter what, I might have a dry spell here and there, but I will find work and I can pivot and be flexible. And I think a lot of people who are ready to do this have that, those same skills. There's nothing you can't learn quickly if you have to. To me, it seems almost more secure. To me, it is. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it is more secure than a 9-to-5 where you just do one thing all day, every day.
I think it's more secure. And I think you have so much more control, to where if you want to make more, you can take on an extra client. If you need to scale back and have less work and focus more on your family and your budget allows for that, you can let a client go. If you, I don't know, want to go on a fancy vacation in the summer and you're like, well, how am I going to afford that? I better do a couple extra client projects. I'm going to do that so I can take my family to Hawaii. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's really what it is.
How have you found most of your clients? Like, throughout your business, it sounds like a lot of it was word of mouth, referrals. Any other specific things you did to find work?
Well, I do follow like really great job boards, you know, such as what you offer in your program. You offer great jobs. I've actually now posted to hire people from your network. But, and if it's something that I feel like I want to do or be really good at, I take the time to edit my resume to appeal to that, because I have such a broad skill set. I tell me what you want, I'll make a resume for it, because at this point, so just really paying close attention to how you present yourself to someone when they're looking for something super specific, which they will be most of the time. But my website is not up to date right now. I've never been active on social media selling my services, never. And because it's just not who I am. And to me, I'm just like, what a time to be alive, you know, that I can do this and it happened and I didn't have to put myself out in a way that made me uncomfortable, you know?
Absolutely. What job boards? Can you spill the deets on which job boards are worthwhile and which ones?
Yours is great. And then the Ops Authority.
Oh, yeah.
They have great jobs that are posted. Also, there's another one, the something higher up, I think, is a smaller board, but the jobs are really high quality.
Is higher up, is that a paid job board?
No, you can join their Facebook group.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I did not know of that one. I love it. Higher up. Very cool. You mentioned at one point you were doing fractional OBM work. What is a fractional OBM? What does that mean?
Basically, it means that you partner with the business owner to help with their operations, to assist, to create SOPs or map out their systems for them. A lot of skills that you learn in the OBM certifications, they have names and acronyms for everything. Yeah. But fractional basically just means you're 1099 consultant and you work on a project basis rather than an hourly basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. What certification did you do for OBM? Did you do the Ops Authority, or did you do Ops Authority and like the OBM specific?
Yeah, I did Sarah No Kids OBM certification, who I love her. And then a few years later, did the DOO certification with Natalie and her crew, which was awesome.
Yeah, those are great, great options, guys. If you're in the virtual assistant space already and you're looking to level up your skill set, I think there is no better investment you can make in your business, in your future, than increasing your skill set, because that's so, so valuable. Sarah Noked and Natalie Gingrich have both have great programs and have also all been on the podcast. So you can check out past episodes. We'll link to those in the show notes.
They're the best. They are the best.
Yeah. Well, Britt, as we kind of start to wrap up, you mentioned that there was something special you wanted to say later on. And I can't remember what we were talking about, but I wrote down special to say. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, well, I already covered it a little bit, but I just wanted to say that through all of this, it enabled me to have a full-time job, security, travel, do all the things the way that I want to do it. Mm-hmm. And with my core values in mind. And you can do it too.
Yeah.
Seriously, you can. And there's such a huge network to tap into for support. And, you know, your program is incredible. And I can't endorse it more. I mean,
what would you say to the mom that's like, but I'm scared? I'm a single mom and like, I'm scared. What if?
I'm a believer of nothing, nowhere worth going is easy to get to. Okay. Get used to it. You are a warrior. We are warriors. Oh my God. We made humans. We pushed them out of our bodies. Come on. You can do it. If you need a pep talk, like seriously, just email me. I'm here for it.
Pep talk. That's a great. I mean, I know you don't want to be the face of a brand, but pep talks from Britt. That's a great Instagram handle.
Yeah,
I love it. All right. Well, Britt, where can people find you? Where can they connect with you if they want to hear from you more? Or would you rather like people don't come and follow you?
No. I would love to chat with anybody who want. And I'm not a coach, and I'm not selling anything, obviously. But if you want to ask questions or just have a chat, coffee chat. TheGeorgiaCreative.com, and you can send me a message there on my landing page, or just Britt@TheGeorgiaCreative.com, and we'll get in touch. We'll love to talk.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. That's so incredibly generous. And thank you so much for your time today too. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your journey. And I just love how every interview I do and every mom I get to talk to, I love how similar, but how different everyone's business is and how everyone's able to take it and combine it with a salary job or combine it with whatever to fit what they need in their stage of life. And I think that is so incredible. And I hope more moms are encouraged from this episode to just go after what they want.
However it looks for you is how it's supposed to look. Just embrace that.
Yeah, I love it. Thanks, Britt.
Thank you.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me @Michaela.Quinn on Instagram and @Michaela Quinn on Facebook. See you next week.